its current state on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. General Motors has recalled 2.6 million vehicles for ignition switch failures, failures that are linked to at least 13 deaths. Considering the recent $1.2 billion penalty levied against Toyota for that company's problems related to sudden accelerations, dealing with the ignition switch problem could become very costly to GM. Yesterday, GM's new CEO, Mary Barra, testified before a U.S. House committee.
Whatever mistakes were made in the past, we will not shirk from our responsibilities now or in the future. Today's GM will do the right thing.
Barra will be back today for more testimony, this time before a Senate panel, to learn more about what Mary Barra had to say and what this all means to General Motors. We welcome NPR reporter Sonari Glinton to Current State. Sonari, welcome.
It's good to be with you.
Ms. Barra testified for more than 2 hours yesterday, and the questioning was intense. Could you say the questioning had a particular focus?
Well, the real focus of all of this is, what did GM know and when did it know it? What was interesting about much of Ms. Barra's testimony was that she deferred a lot to a special investigation that's being done with by Anton Valukas, who's a former U.S. attorney. GM hired Mr. Valukas to do the investigation. So that sort of ruffled the feathers a little bit of the congressman, because she wasn't, you know, this is what happened, when, how, et cetera.
So did anything emerge on day one as to what GM knew or when it knew it?
Well, it was clear from documents, interestingly enough, that GM submitted to the committee that it knew about ignition switch problems at least for a decade. And, you know, there are two key points in 2005 when General Motors had meetings about problems. In both times, it sort of said, you know, this isn't cost-effective to do this recall. And Ms. Barra said that the new GM wouldn't act in that way, and that she found those words or that idea that the company chose money over lives to be, you know, not something that that her company would do now.
You're referring to apparently a line in a memo, and the line is quoted on this morning's front page of the Detroit News. None of the solutions represents an acceptable business case. Those apparently coming from an anonymous GM engineer.
And remember, this is the same year that GM was losing $5 to $7 billion. It laid off 30,000 employees and closed 9 plants. You know, so there is an idea that their money was connected somehow to the decision-making process wherever it was happening.
Let's talk about Anton Valukas and the investigation GM is conducting into these faulty ignitions. What more can you tell us about that? Do you think the results of an investigation like this will be accepted by Congress or the public?
Well, you know, Anton Valukas has a tremendous reputation. I'm from Chicago, and I remember he's, you know, considered one of the people who ended the Chicago machine with the Gaylord operation. And he casts a long shadow in that world. However, you know, there's some question when a company hires a lawyer to do an investigation, because the company and the lawyer have attorney-client privilege. So, you know, there's this idea that there's a possibility that maybe not all the information will get out there. Congress essentially can only investigate. It doesn't necessarily have the power to act. You know, that takes, you know, that takes the Justice Department, that takes, you know, the Department of Transportation, which can levy fines. There, you know, this isn't, it's not that Congress can really do anything. What is interesting is how the public perceives this. You know, 91% of the public says that they understand that there will be recalls. And 87% of the people say that sometimes the information that they get after a recall and the way a company reacts will make them more likely to choose a brand. We're seeing that 77% of GM sales went up by 7%. So while this whole recall mess has been going on, and it would be interesting to see what April sales numbers are. But, you know, in all honesty, these 2 days are the most attention that this recall is going to get unless we hear something that isn't in the past, unless we hear something that's last week, last month, last year, you know, this is likely to sort of fade away, and we're going to, there are going to be results. But I think that the car buying public, you know, has a short memory for these sort of things.
Speaking of public perception, we've been hearing from families who lost loved ones in accidents believed to be linked to this problem with the ignitions. Your report on Morning Edition today included these remarks from Shannon Wooten, whose son Josh was killed shortly after having the ignition fixed in his car.
This right here is like being at the funeral again, you know. If they would have listened to one or two of us, we wouldn't have all these people out here today.
What impact does it have, Sonari, to hear stories from families on Congress and on the public perception of GM?
Well, these are very, you know, tough situations, especially because many of the people who we know to have died in connection with the ignition switch problems were young people, and they were in these small cars. I mean, this is... These are genuine tragedies, but you know, there are a lot of people die in car crashes every single day, and the public understands that. Congress is angry, and people have a right to be angry if it's found out that that GM hid this information. But it is, you know, it, essentially, we're going to hear a lot. We're likely to hear more and more stories of people who have been injured or hurt because of, you know, some problem with the GM vehicle, because all of the attention that's been focused on it right now. The important thing for the car company is how it reacts. That's the real thing. And Mary Barra met with some of the victims. You know, there was some mixed, you know, there was a mixed outcome about, you know, what people felt about that meeting. But, you know, it's how the company acts which will determine how those victims feel and how their families feel there's a resolution.
We're talking with NPR Sonari Glinton about day one of Mary Barra's testimony in front of congressional committees yesterday. It continues, of course, today. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is also getting scrutinized here for not investigating complaints about these ignition switches. Yesterday, the NHTSA Administrator David Friedman suggested the data that they received from GM in 2007 did not warrant an investigation. Quote, when our team looked at the investigation, there was not a trend that stood out, unquote. How important is that disclosure, Sonari?
Well, you know, in many ways, the way the system works is that that NHTSA has to rely on information from the car maker to determine whether there's a problem. You know, there are, like I said, hundreds of car crashes every day, and there are not that many investigators to go out and look to see what every problem is. And so NHTSA is sort of hampered if the car companies don't fully disclose the information that they have about defects, because they're getting reports from dealers, they're getting reports from customers, et cetera. It's, you know... And the administrator said, the acting administrator said that, you know, GM hampered investigations by not fully disclosing all the things that it knew and when it knew it.
What about the talk that you hear, Sonari, about the cozy relationship between the company and investigative agencies, oversight agencies?
Well, you know, there's a kind of a revolving door. I mean, you can see it in journalism. You can see it in a lot of places where, you know, people might not be as hard-hitting, say, about General Motors if they want potentially to go get a job there, right? So if you're, you know, if GM and the car companies walk into your office and you're thinking, maybe, you know, my kid's going to college, 2 years down the road, I might want to jump ship and go work for these guys.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's... You know, there's a lot of people who say that there's a perception that there is a coziness. And there's also, you know, after 30-plus years of regulating, there is the sort of people know each other. We're a part of an industry. We, you know, we talk all the time. And, you know, the criticism is that NHTSA is not a hard taskmaster. That is not a cop on the beat. And, you know, congressional, I mean, part of that is, you know, some people will say that NHTSA hasn't grown since, you know, the early 80s, and the number of cars and the complexity of cars has, you know, grown tremendously since that time. That, you know, there's been questions about how hampered the agency is, you know, with the terms of tools it can use to, you know, enforce the laws and the rules that Congress passes.
As culpable, as neglectful as General Motors appears that it could have been in this situation, there are already stories suggesting the possibility of congressional piling on, of grandstanding senators. Could a really aggressive congressional investigation actually generate some sympathy for the more sympathy for General Motors in this situation?
Well, I mean, the thing is, there's not a lot of sympathy for General Motors, just in general. You know, in because of the bailout, because of the bankruptcy, because of, you know, a lot of things, there is a steep climb that this company has to make. That said, you know, the Congress is about as focused as the media is, and the next shiny object that comes along, that's where Congress is probably going to look towards. And the same thing is true with the media. And, you know, in 4 months, in 5 months, we're not likely to be paying as close attention as we are right now when Mary Barra is on Capitol Hill and talking to senators. But the thing that the only thing that General Motors can do to create sympathy is to react responsibly to the recall, is to make good cars, is to, you know, those are the things that it has to do in order to get back, you know, any public sympathy. Because as long as there's the perception that General Motors is still that bad company from 2005, that's going to stick around, and it's going to be just this lingering thing. It's not that people are going to be, like, angry at General Motors, but they might see it and then see the Toyota dealership right down the road and go, I'm going to go here.
So NPR reporter Sonari Glinton is covering the congressional hearings into General Motors that began yesterday on Capitol Hill. Sonari, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
It's great to be with you.